course of the service, having stopping and allowing you to talk amongst yourselves, allowing you to pray together. And we would, and you know, we, it's just going to stretch our imagination to make sure that we recognize that although we can only see ourselves doing it, there's all sorts of people all over Pacifica who are doing the same thing. And we're really thrilled to be able to do that. And one of the things that it does occur to me, when we have those times when we do pause and we allow people to do things, then, you know, if you know somebody who might be watching this by themselves, or if you're watching it by yourself, pick up your phone and call somebody who you think may be on, and so that you can maybe put your phone on speaker, or if you're using, or if you can use FaceTime or something like that. You'll be able to be together and pray together and listen together and comment together. So we think that's a really good way of doing it. Just let me give you a few announcements. Zoom is going to become probably one of our best friends over the next few months. We're going to try Zoom meetings for growth groups. I know that our growth group met over Zoom and some of the others met over Zoom. So we're going to continue doing that. If you need to know more about that, then, if you look at David Haken, there's David Haken's email address here on the screen. Just email him and he will let you know. After this meeting, we recognize that there are some people who, we want to remind you of these things. So I'll send you an email, which will include some of the phone numbers that aren't actually on these slides. So you can call people, because we are also establishing a volunteer grocery delivery service. And Mitch is coordinating that. And if you contact him, he'll let you know exactly how you can participate. We're really excited about this. We're going to be able to send some things out to people and share with them and ask and enable them to get groceries. We're also going to help PRC, who are going to be delivering groceries to people who they would normally who are locked inside and sort of they would normally receive groceries free through the food bank, and we're going to help PRC do that. So if you want to participate in that, you should call Gary Bozin. Again, we'll make sure that phone number is on the email we send out. Our Friday prayer meeting is going to be by Zoom too. So again, if you we've got a special email address which you'll see on the screen there, prayerrequests@newlifepacifica.com, so that we can continue to pray together, which is so much part of our New Life culture. We're going to continue to pray, but nothing stops us praying. If you saw my blog earlier in the week, I was suggesting that we can get out, we can go and walk, we can prayer walk, and we can, you know, we can maintain our social distancing, but it's a wonderful opportunity to get out and really influence our community by praying for them. Maggie and I walked past Casa Pacifica, and we actually texted the people who we know living in Casa Pacifica at the time when we were walking past and praying for them. And one of them came out and waved to us on the balcony. So there are things we can do, and it's important to be able to recognize what we can do. We're also going to have a Zoom meeting later today for our children's ministry. So again, if you email Dejanani, or we'll send an email out with her phone number. If you're involved in that, if you can call her, and you'll find out exactly how that's going to happen. So there are so many things that we can do. Also, there is the availability to chat. If you will find that there's places where you can type in comments and all those sort of things. We've got people listening. We've got people who will be responding, so that we can really engage with one another and chat together as we do this. Yes, this wasn't exactly how we planned it, but obviously we're going to worship God together. So let's see if we can't make a joyful noise to the Lord as we all, perhaps you all want to open your windows so that the community can hear us as we sing and worship God together.
Good morning, New Life family. I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in feeling shook up by the news and turn of events in these last several days. Last Sunday, you were seeing the worship team do a beautiful job from the sanctuary being broadcast from there. Today, we're in our living room, just David and me. But I think we need to sing that song again that the worship team did so beautifully last week, God with us. Much of the song comes from Revelation chapter 8. And I'd like to start with just some of the verses from chapter 8. You should read the whole thing when you have time later. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Creation.
can come against. No one can stand between us.
Well, we were able to worship together. Isn't that terrific? Well, and now we're going to pray together. Now, I know that we're a long distance from each other, but we're going to spend some time. You're going to spend some time with the people who are who you're watching with, and pray together. We're going to pray for perhaps, we're going to pray for one another, because for many of this is an extraordinary, scary, and challenging time. And we as followers of Jesus have the opportunity to stand firm, but to recognize and to understand the challenges which many of us feel. Let's pray with one another about those things, because we can tell God how we feel. We can tell God how extraordinarily difficult it is for us to deal with the things that we're dealing with now. I'm going to put a slide up so that anybody who knows who comes in when it's quiet knows what we're doing, and then when I've given you some time to pray together, then what we're going to do is we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. I'll lead you, and it'll come up on the screen, and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So let's just spend some time praying with the people who are in your room together.
And we pray for all those who are bowing their heads together, and we pray that this would be sweet time.
Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to pray together. Thank you for all that you are doing. Lord, there are so many strange things happening, but we know that you are still in control of the universe. There's nothing you don't know. There's nothing that comes as a surprise to you. So, Lord, we even when we feel so uncertain and so confused and so scared at times, we know that we can trust you. And so we ask that you will help us to encourage one another in that trust, to stand together, to that we might have the peace that passes all understanding. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's worship God again together.
Just to correct the mistake I made earlier, that was Romans 8, not Revelation 8. We will continue at this time to take tithes and offerings online. There should be a slide with how to text your offering. You can also mail checks to the church as well. With all that's going on, there's going to be lots of financial stress, I realize, both for our church families as well as for our community. And also for our church as we try and support all the needs that are arising in our community. So pray with me, please, for these gifts. Lord, would you take our gifts? Would you multiply them to your kingdom? Would you put them to the needs of this community and for your glory? And Lord, would you continue to speak to us through this time and through your word? Amen.
Oh, Lord, and renew our
Well, this isn't quite what we expected, but nevertheless, I've done a lot of thinking this week about what it really means to have a sermon in this sort of context, where we're all in our front rooms. We're not, even last week, I was standing in front of a podium speaking into a camera, but now I'm sat in my office, and in a sense, we're sharing together almost as if we were all together in the front room together. And I really want us to be able to appreciate that conversation that we have together in a way that which can engage us. And I'm going to try some things. There's a couple of times during this message that I'm going to stop, and I'm going to invite you to talk together about the sort of things that the conversation that we're having, because there is so much that we can share together and we can learn together. So I'm hoping that as we look at the everyday stuff, we'll try something which has a different feel, that yes, I may be a long way away, but actually I'm there in your living room with you. We're having a conversation together. Please engage in the chat, ask questions. Maybe I won't answer them online, but maybe I'll answer them later. Please engage with conversation so that we can indeed be separated by distance, but not in fact that we are actually gathering. Our churches, the whole purpose of a church is the ecclesia, the gathering together. And what we're trying to do here is to make that gathering happen, even though we are not in a physical place. So ask questions and engage with that. So we're approaching the end of our Saturate series. We're approaching the end of this this encouragement we quoted at the end of that last song, that the earth might be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, or as we've actually had it translated for us, every man, woman, and child in every place, for many of us Pacifica, although maybe there's other people who are watching today who are in different places, and so you can fill in that for yourself, have daily encounters with Jesus through words spoken and deeds done through his people. And we want to welcome particularly anybody who's watching this today who maybe hasn't been to church for a long while, maybe hasn't done anything like this for a long while. Well, we're absolutely thrilled that these strange circumstances have enabled us to meet together. And we hope that you'll really enjoy being together with the people that you're with, and that being together with us remotely as a church family, because each of you is so important to us. But of course, you know, as we've looked at the strategies that are within the book Saturate that we've been reading together, none of them were designed for shelter in place. None of them assumed that many of us would be confined to our homes, or to go for walks. If we go for walks, we go for walks on, we carefully socially distancing ourselves. But what can we do? What can we do to engage all of these things? Well, I thought of two questions that I want to share with you, that I think that as we go through as we continue to look at this, that we can look at together. How can we establish new rhythms and infuse them with gospel intentionality? Because I don't know about you, but being at home all the time means that I've had to do all sorts of things differently. There's lots of things I can't do, but I don't want to. I really don't want to focus on the things I can't do. I want to find things I can. And so, you know, life is different, but that doesn't mean we can't be intentional about how we make contact with people, how we engage with people through technology. I mean, it's what an amazing gift God has given us, that he's given us all these technologies which allow us to be with people, actually see people. I mean, I know I'm really old, but I would never have dreamt when I was a young adult that one day I would be able to have a conversation. It was one of those sort of things you saw on television shows, that you're actually able to have a conversation with somebody. I have a conversation with multiple people and see their faces and yet be an enormous distance apart. So what new rhythms, what new practices can we infuse with gospel intentionality? And then, of course, life will return to, well, the old normal, but what can we plan to do differently? As we look at the things that we're looking at, behave as children of God? How can we be servants? How can we be missionaries? How can we do that differently when we return to the previous normal, for want of a better word? I mean, isn't it just more than possible that God has provided us with this amazing sort of push the stop button so that we can look carefully at the way we are doing things and say, is this really the best way of doing it? Is this really? And then perhaps he's opening up opportunities to do things like we're doing now that may give us a gift of things that we have never thought of doing in the past. So let's ask ourselves these questions. How do we establish new rhythms in this strange new normal? And what can we plan to do differently when we return to the previous normal? And then maybe the previous normal will not be the normal. We'll have a new normal, another new normal. Who knows? Let's really try and ask God to show us the exciting things that he may be revealing to us. But having said that, let's not ignore that this is extraordinarily hard for many of us. There are so many challenges that we face that life is not how we expect it to be. I'm trying to blog at least every other day, and I'm going to publish a blog tomorrow, which talks about the importance that we have to grieve. To grieve that right now, there are things that we would normally have expected to be able to do, which we can't do. And it's not enough to simply look at the platitudes that sometimes we do. We can tell God exactly how incredibly frustrated and sometimes angry and scared we actually are. He can take it. He knows how we feel. And it's only, I believe, as we grieve for what we haven't got that God will enable us to grasp the incredible things that maybe he will take us towards. So let's encourage one another. Let's enable one another to feel the emotions that we feel and yet allow him to walk with us through them into the place that he wants us to go. Now, last week we looked at three strategies, three normal activities, because we were talking about the fact that churches so often, when they have a new program, we all sort of think, oh gosh, where am I going to put that in my calendar? But what we're looking at here is things that are already in our calendars, things that we already do that we can infuse with new intentionality, which we can look again at. Last week we looked at eating. Now, even now, I'm having more meals with my family than I've had for a long while. Both of my boys are actually at home, and so we get to eat together. Now, we haven't done that for a long while. Now, you can choose to all eat in your separate rooms, but I'm suggesting that this new normal can help you to eat together with your family. Now, you may not be able to eat with other people like you had hoped you could, but that's for later. Now you get the chance to eat with your family. We looked at celebration, and of course, there's not that many celebrations. It's not too easy right now, but maybe those are the things that we can plan for the future. And of course, recreation is a whole new ball game. Now we have the opportunity, of course, as we recreate, what do? We sit and watch television. Perhaps we shouldn't do that quite too much. Perhaps we can have play games, you know, maybe you're not a game family, but we are. And, you know, maybe we can, you can play some games together. And again, it, you create new things and suddenly realize that there were things that perhaps you haven't done for a long while that you can enjoy. And you can enjoy more than you did before. And who knows, maybe you won't go back in the future. But those were last week's three. This week, we've got three new ones, and that we want to see how we can infuse the gospel into it. Now, when I say infuse the gospel, I don't mean that in every activity you have to go through the four spiritual laws, or open your Bible up and take somebody down the Romans road. I'm not talking about that. Gospel intentionality is so much broader than that. My favorite book of evangelism is this one, I Once Was Lost. And they talk so much about the importance of building relationship. You know, there is nothing, we are, perhaps what we're doing right now is renewing relationships within our families. Relationships that have become distant, relationships which we have allowed, we have somehow neglected. But so much of being able to share the gospel together and live the gospel together is being able to trust one another. Trust one another with the struggles, trust one another with our feelings, trust one another with all of those things. And building those relationships, which we can do by making sure we call people, by making sure we engage with them, we text them, we email them. Be very careful, with social media, because, of course, emails, all electronic media, it's very easy to misunderstand. Don't forget that when you send somebody a text or you send somebody an email, they don't know where the emphases were. They don't know when the tone of your voice was sarcastic or the tone of your voice was jocular. They don't know that. All they see is the word. So just be careful with that. But it's an opportunity to connect with people in those ways which God has given us. All of this stuff was given us by God. We can actually do those things. So infusing these things with gospel intentionality. And hopefully we can do that with minimal change. Now, the first one we're going to look at is listening. Now, listening, let me go back to this so that I don't distract you. Listening there's two parts of it. First of all, we need to learn to listen to God. And so often in this particular series, we've emphasized the need to listen, to take time to listen to God, to read his word, and to engage with his word. We say that we need to make minimal changes to our calendar, but perhaps this is something where we need to make sure we make room in our calendar for. And let's face it, this is a phenomenal opportunity to do that, because there's so much less that we're actually, the things that we have to do are so different. And while we're at home, we can organize our time to spend more time listening to God. You see, when we look at the scripture, we see that time and time again, Jesus says, I'm only doing what the Father tells me to do. Now, if he only does what the Father tells him to do, he has to be spending time listening to his Father and, in a sense, getting those instructions. He has to be making space. And you see time and time again when he goes apart, he takes time apart. He takes time by himself. I know that Maggie and I are spending, though we spend much more time perhaps together, we're actually making sure that we spend time in separate rooms doing certain things. I mean, obviously, both of us are working. I mean, Maggie's having the new experience of teaching online is just a whole different ballgame. But to spend time by ourselves, listening to God, reading his word, meditating on his word, there is more time to do that if we will take it. And so, let's face it, most of life, we're listening to other people all the time. Listen and listen and listen. But sometimes we're not listening. Jesus visits two people, two really dear friends of him, his Martha and Mary. And when he comes to visit them, Martha is preparing dinner. And I just clicked something I shouldn't have clicked. I'm trying to dismiss it, but I can't. Okay, sorry. I may have to, I'm trying to get my slides back, which are, I've got, that's right. Jesus and he's there, they were on their way to Jerusalem. They went to stay with Martha and Mary. And when they were, when they arrived at the house, you can imagine they were all sitting in the front room and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. And, but Martha was distracted by the dinner she was preparing. Now I was just, when I was thinking about this morning, I was actually thinking this was quite similar to what we're experiencing right now. Now, I don't know how many of you are in your front room, but maybe somebody goes off and says, I'm just going to get a cup of coffee, or I'm just going to do this, or anyone else want a cup of coffee? And then you're, anyone else want something to eat? And you say, well, and they're out there preparing something to eat. And they say, well, I can't listen because I'm getting something to eat for you. So, you know, it's remarkably similar to, or can be remarkably similar to what we're experiencing right now. And of course, Martha is distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And she's saying, and you know, I can tell you on multiple times, I've heard the voice from the kitchen saying, I'm doing stuff here. What are you guys doing? But she came to Jesus and she said, Lord, it's unfair. My sister is just sitting there and I'm doing all the work. You, Jesus, you can tell her to come and help me. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. I think there's only one thing to be concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. It will not be taken away from her. What was she doing? She was listening to Jesus. She was sitting at his feet, listening to him, because that was her priority. And I think I often, when I read this verse, I often think it was a bit tough on Martha. I mean, after all, she was preparing dinner and he was going to eat dinner. So why doesn't he sympathize with her? I think that may be one of the things, one of these occasions when the inflection, the all of those sorts of things we miss, because I suspect Jesus was not being unsympathetic. He was just trying to share with Martha that, you know, even if she had been sitting there, she would have probably been worrying about what was cooking outside and how was she giving her complete attention to Jesus? What was the priority she gives to her complete attention to Jesus? I think, you know, this is what's so important, paying full attention. I'm still reading the Daily Office on a regular basis, and there's this one section that I'm going to read to you now, which where he talks about listening to people, and he said, and it comes from M. Scott Peck, and he talks about one of his high school classmates, and he was 15. This was when M. Scott Peck was 15-year-old. This is, imagine the scene. You've got two 15-year-olds talking to each other. I suddenly realized that for the entire 10-minute period from when I had first seen my acquaintance until that very moment, I had been totally self-preoccupied. For the 2 or 3 minutes before we met, I was thinking about all I was thinking about was the clever things I might say to impress him. During our 5 minutes together, I was listening to what he said only with half an ear so that I might come out with a clever rejoinder. I watched him only so that I might see what effect my remarks were having upon him. And for 2 or 3 minutes after we separated, my sole thought was, what of those things could I have said that might have impressed him more? I had not cared one whit for my classmate. I remember reading that. Every time I read that, I think about how easy it is to have a conversation with somebody and yet be most of the time, most of your listening is sort of with half an ear because you're thinking, well, what can I say? What's my reply going to be? What can I answer? Or maybe you're even thinking about something completely different. One of the greatest gifts we can give to one another is to listen and to listen carefully. Because, you know, when you listen to somebody, you're actually saying, you are worthwhile. What you're saying to me is worthwhile, and I want to hear it. You're giving somebody value by listening to them. And, you know, it's by listening to people that you learn so much about them. If you look through scripture, you see that Jesus asked ever such good questions. He asked questions of people over and over again. Because why did he ask them questions? He wanted to listen to them. He wanted to hear what they had to say. Because it's only by really listening and really hearing what you have to say that that we can respond and engage and actually communicate that way that we care. You know, I was at I took a seminar at Bass this year, and after the seminar, a guy came up to me and asked me to clarify something. It was the seminar. I do a seminar on what it's like to be what's it like to be a husband? What's it like to be married to me? As we were talking about it, this guy had heard that I was that I had my first wife had died, and he came up to me and he asked me, because he was in that position and he was thinking about what it would be like to be to date and get remarried. And there was another guy in the audience who was in a similar position and had got remarried. Now he came up and engaged the question that the guy asked me, and he rattled on for about 5 minutes answering a question that the guy never asked. He clearly felt that he had something he wanted to say, and I suspect that the guy felt completely unheard. And I really, without putting the guy down, I really couldn't do anything about it. But it made such an impression on me about the importance of listening. The importance of listening and paying, giving people your full attention. Because when we listen with their full attention, then we infuse the process with gospel integrity and gospel intentionality. Because it is by learning, by engaging with people, that we can learn their stories, learn where our lives impact theirs, and begin to establish trust with one another. And it's interesting that this particular aspect of listening dovetails with what our second strategy is, and that is the strategy of story. Now, we've talked about this a lot, and we've talked about this in this series a lot, about how important it is to learn to tell our story and to listen to other people's stories. It's because nobody can take anything away from our stories. Now, during this series, we've had a wonderful time listening to other people's stories. We spend our whole life telling stories. You know, when you tell somebody of the amazing experience. Somebody, my son came back from going to the supermarket. Of course, he kept social distancing yesterday, and he told this story about how there was somebody there, all in suits and whatever to protect themselves. And what were they buying? They were buying a lottery ticket, and he just thought this was completely extraordinary. So we were able to laugh about that. But we tell one another stories over and over again. And so I'm going to pause now for a minute, and I'm going to invite you to tell one another in your room, tell one another a story. Let somebody in the room tell you a story about how Jesus has impacted their life. You're only going to get about 5 minutes, so you may have to resume this activity after we've had this time together. So, tell stories.
that's been 3 minutes.
Three.
So I feel like I gotta speak.
Okay, I'm sorry to stop what I hope was active conversation, but I hope maybe that will start something, that you'll continue to tell your stories to one another, so that people can know all of the different things that happened. Now, I wanted to draw our attention to one particular time when Jesus engaged with stories. Now, there's a famous incident when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. He meets the Samaritan woman. They're both, they're stood by the well. They've started having this conversation. Jesus asks if he'll get some water. She says, "What are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman," all those sorts of things. And then Jesus asks great questions. He asks a question which invites her to tell her story. He says, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. And she said, "Don't have a husband." Now, of course, Jesus knows that, but he's inviting her to tell her story. You're right, he says, you actually had 5 husbands. And I'm sure we don't get the whole text of the conversation. I'm sure she begins to explain herself or whatever. And of course, if you read the rest of the chapter, you see all of the conversation that she has. And Jesus brings her back to her own story time and time again. But then something really interesting happens. Because she's engaged with her story, but then she goes back to her village to tell people. The woman left her water jar. She's so engaged with what Jesus, the exchange she's had with Jesus, and she said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I did." She tells them her story, the story of her encounter with Jesus. And what happens then is that all loads of people if you read the account in John chapter 4, you'll see in the Gospel of John, you'll discover that they came, lots of people came to hear Jesus themselves, and then they said, "We're not believing in Jesus now because of your story. We've got a story of our own now." So telling those stories is so, and listening to those stories is so important. So I hope that you enjoyed the stories that you shared with one another, and I hope that there will be many more, and I hope that the ones who weren't telling the story were listening really carefully, and we begin to enjoy having the joy of telling each other's stories. Lastly, the strategy is blessing. Now, do we bless people every day? Hopefully we do. Hopefully we have ways of blessing people. Now, they can be very simple. You know what a blessing just smiling at somebody can be? Just giving them a smile. Or opening the door for somebody. Then that normally gets linked up to a smile. All of those things. You know, I learned something from a friend of mine, which I have noticed. I think I probably shared it with you before, or with some of you before. But most of the people who check you out at stores and have a name badge. Now, most people, if you're not terminally grumpy, when you've come out of the supermarket, come out of the store, you say thank you, and they're used to that. But watch what happens, how you bless somebody if you use their name. It is startling sometimes. They can be looking in the other direction, and you use their name, and they look around like, "Who said that?" Because again, what you're doing by using their name is saying, I noticed you. I noticed you as a human being. I know that you are a person. You're not just somebody. And, you know, that says something. You know, we talk about being a family. Well, acknowledging somebody by name says something about how you want to relate to them. And it doesn't just treat them as a servant. There's so many small things that you can bless people with, but really being intentional about saying, how can I intentionally bless somebody today? Big things or small things. I just want to go to the opposite extreme and tell you a story that Jeff Vanderstelt talks about in the book about one of their small groups, because a lot of their stuff is done in small groups. They were engaging with this whole task of blessing people. And so they decided that what they were going to do was they were going to write on post-it notes the things that they had, the things that the stuff that they particularly had. There was things that they could do, things that they had, things that they've done and that they've experienced or something like that. And so they began to, after they'd done that and stuck all these post-it notes up on the wall, they began to look at them together. And they noticed that one of the couples in the group was sat very, very quietly in a corner and not really engaged in what was going on. Well, they turned to that group, that couple, and said, hey, what's up with you? How can we, what's the problem? And they looked out and they said, well, the truth is that we can't really give or be generous or any of those things because we've got so much credit card debt that we can't get out of it. There was a pause, and then they went up to the wall where all the post-it notes were stuck, and they saw that there were some savings accounts that some people stated that they had. And they got together and they said to them, would you mind if we blessed you by helping you paying off your credit card accounts? As you can imagine, they looked a little surprised. And then there was another person who said, well, look, if you look on, I've been teaching budgeting for a long while. I'm willing to come and sit down with you and help you to budget and bless you by teaching you to budget so that this won't happen again. And then the third person said, well, under the experiences, you'll see that I've already been through what you're going through. So I'd be only too happy to sit down with you and share my experiences with you so that you might be blessed by the lessons that I've learned. Now, okay, that's going from one extreme to another, but let's get creative about how we think we can bless people. I'm so excited that Mitch has come up with this opportunity that we have to deliver groceries during this time to people who can't get out. That's an amazing way to bless people. Matthew 25 has given us, as a church, so many opportunities to bless people. Let's continue to look for them. The partnering with PRC to deliver to another group of people who are so in need, deliver food parcels to them. That's a way of blessing people. There are so many ways. Just giving somebody a call, that blesses them. So how can we, I invite you to spend a few minutes now and think, how can you bless people in the next few days? How can you develop patterns of blessing? I invite you to think about that. Once again, you're going to get about 5 minutes, and maybe this again is an activity which you should continue after we've finished. up, and I just hope that, again, we have begun some conversations that will continue in the rest of the day and maybe on into the week. I just want to share with you briefly how I've been blessed this week. I was blessed by a number of members of the church family who just texted me and said, "Are you okay?" and things like that. I was blessed extraordinarily by the guys in our congregation, guys and girls in our congregation who are tech savvy and who gather together and have worked extraordinarily hard this week, particularly Julianne and John Euland, they've worked every day to try to prepare us for this. Now, things haven't gone exactly as we'd planned. Well, we knew that they probably wouldn't, but they have worked so hard. It's been such a blessing to be able to share with them and see all of their expertise and all of their hard work that has just come together to try and bless me and bless all of you. And so please keep praying for us, because we're obviously going to have to do some more work this week to try and continue to refine this process so that we can continue to bless you and continue to encourage you and do all of those things. So let me just show you those two questions again. How can we establish new rhythms and infuse them with gospel intentionality? How can we find ways that we can be children of God, that we can be servants of Jesus and missionaries in this current new circumstances? Yes, there are so many things we can't do, but what can we do? What are the new and creative ideas? I mean, I know that our church is full of amazing creative people. So let's think about the new and creative things we can do. We were warned by so many, so much circulation. So don't try and be too complicated. Don't try and do things, try and keep simple and then build it. And we have been trying to do that. But let's share one another's ideas. What can we plan to do or do differently when we return? What changes will we allow God to make to our lives, our patterns, our rhythms, that we might be better followers, better servants, better missionaries when this particular normal is over? Just pray for one another in that process. Continue the conversations that we've had. It's been terrific to be with you, because every time I just feel like there are lots of you out there who are with me and Maggie. Maggie's in this room with me and Maggie as we attempt to be together and to gather and to be community together. We're going to try some new things. We're going to try more things during the week. Please tell us what your experience was like and all of those sorts of things. Share with us the stories that you've had if you wish to do so. We would love to hear them. And together we can continue to be what God has called us to be in this particular period of time. So let's pray together, shall we? Before we sing our final worship song. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for the opportunities you are giving us. Lord, help us to encourage one another, to stand with one another in the scary times and the confusing times and all of those different things. Please help us to stand together, to encourage one another and to be all that you've called us to be. And may this be an incredibly fruitful time as we work together. In the blessed and precious name of Jesus, amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time that we have had together. We ask that you will continue to bless us. We ask that you will continue to show us the way forward, to give us creative ideas, to show us how we might serve you in these incredibly difficult times. Lord, we pray that you will give us the ability to support one another when we're scared, when we're confused, when we don't know what's going to happen next, and the opportunity to share joy together and to encourage one another. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon every single one of you in every single one of your homes from today until we gather again. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Watch your emails, watch your text messages for ideas and new things that we're going to do so that we can keep in touch and we can be together in these strange times. God bless you all. Bye.